Hi everyone, welcome to the Drunken Whalers, the show where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored. I'm joined, as always, by Claire.
Hi everyone. Hi.
Yeah, it's daylight savings time. It's really fucking dark outside.
Oh, it's so depressing. Like, it was great this morning because I woke up and it was pretty early. And I was like, wow, I didn't even totally fuck up my sleep schedule today or yesterday because I went to a bachelorette party yesterday. I was like, wow, I'm so proud of me. And then I remembered it was daylight savings.
Well, you can still be proud of yourself. You just had help.
You're right. I am proud of myself.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that really are really depressing, we're finishing The Return of Dawn today.
It's not depressing because we're going to be done.
I mean, okay, I'm just, the book is depressing, and also...
Alright, let's fucking do this.
Where the fuck did we leave off? Neither of us took notes, because...
We left off with Norcross, that collector dude, oh, I'm so sleepy, time to go to bed. And Dowd was like, what the fuck? Okay, fine, I'm gonna steal things in the middle of the night.
I forgot about all this Norcross stuff because I got mad about other stuff that happened later in this book.
Well, we have ample opportunity for you to be mad about everything.
Okay, so, yeah, so he's looking for this stuff, and then it, like, cuts to Norcross, right?
Yes, and he is doing an interrogation.
He's doing a torture, is, like, what he's doing.
He's trying to... This is the stupidest part, because... He is interrogating, like, one of the thieves who attacked him, if you recall, from 2 weeks ago. He's interrogating one of them. He's like, hey, what's this dude who I've been entertaining for, like, 2 hours? What's his name?
Yeah, he's like, and, yeah, and the lady's basically like, it's Dowd, but, like, and, more, like, yeah. She's being tortured.
And then she dies. Not, like, loving this description of torture. I think we... could have just not done that with, like, yeah, one of the only women we have.
It's not great. And then it also leads into this thing where he's like, oh, he, like, basically, like, taxidermies, like, people, because I guess we decided to do that, and, like, collects them. It's fine.
Yeah, and it's like, he's collecting, like, completely normal people.
Yeah, she's just some lady. I mean, well, she's also, like, part of the secret organization, but he doesn't really know that.
Yeah, it's just, like, so weird. He's like, yeah, cool, gonna taxidermy some people. I'm like, I think this is all, like, wholly unnecessary.
There's, like, it's, like, 3 chapters in this middle of this book are, like, a fucking, like, wannabe horror movie, and I literally don't understand why you could cut all of this, because none of it ends up mattering.
Yeah,
in any way.
it doesn't. Dowd wakes up, he's like, I'm gonna steal some shit. He goes and is sneaky, finds, like, a secret place, a secret collection, and then he goes to steal the knife. Yeah. Norcross is like, no way! And then there's a music box. And
yeah,
then...
Yeah, and, like, I think next to the knife there's the mirror from the Corroded Man, right? That's what that is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a weird mirror there.
Yeah. And also, for some reason, Norcross is, like, reading Dowd's, like, overseer dossier to him.
Yeah, because I guess he gets it from one of the guards that he has who used to be an overseer or something. And so, yeah he's like, it's like a dossier. I think it is the one from Dishonored 1 or whatever.
It's literally the one from Dishonored 1 because it says he's dusky skinned. Oh, right. I know we've talked about this before, but it's like, come on. Mm-hmm. So it's literally, like, word for word the same one from, like, the concept material.
It's not great.
Fucking wonderful. So, yeah, Norcross is like, hey, you're pretty cool. You're totally not just a normal guy. It's like, no, we never thought he was a normal guy. You never thought he was a normal guy. Why would you think someone meeting you to deal black market goods was ever a normal guy? Like, we have known all of this.
There's one thing that Dowd's great at doing. It's seeming like a normal fucking guy. Yeah. That's definitely why he got run out of town that one time for being weird.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Norcross is there, like, wow, so fun, like, an agent of the outsider. And Dowd is like,
would love to, like, put you on my wall or whatever.
Yeah, and Dowd's like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, I'm gonna take this knife and go. And Norcross is like, no, I'm gonna play this funky, you know, one of the overseer music boxes. And Dowd is like, wow, that shit really fucking hurts, huh?
Yeah, it kind of fucks this shit up. Yeah.
So that was, like, 3 chapters.
That was like three chapters. Did we, there's like a cutaway to like the agents or whatever. I can't remember when that was, but.
I don't think so yet.
Okay.
I think that's later.
Yeah, so basically Dao just like wakes up like in a fucking horror movie torture chamber.
Yeah, and Norcross is like, oh, you're super awesome. I'm going to put you in my collection. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, and he, like, the, like, dead lady's, like, on another table next to him, and it's, like...
being taxidermied.
Yeah, it's, like, real, like, it's not, like, it's pretty gross. Don't want to go into it that much.
Yeah, let's not. So, then, like, nothing happens, except for Norcross reveals that he's freaky. Yeah. And then someone attacks his manor, and Norcross is like, okay, gotta go, be safe.
Yeah, all the lights go out, and a guard shows up and is like, we're taking you to the safe room, because this is Dishonored, and everybody has a safe room. Yeah, legally mandated.
Yeah. And because all the electricity goes out, the music box stops playing, I guess.
Oh, yeah, and there was, like, an automatic music box that was, like, on a mannequin that had, like, an arm that was playing it. It was, like, whack.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is such a weird, like, I know that the game is this grisly, but it's like, this is such a weird thing to describe to me.
It's, this whole section is so fucking weird. I was not expecting it at all. I was like, what is this happening?
So the music stops playing, Norcross goes to a safe room, Dad's like, okay, you can't tell me shit, and I'm gonna leave now.
Yeah, he so just, he like, breaks his, like, handcuffs that are, like, sticking him to the table. He's like, okay, that was easy, I guess.
Yeah. So he's gonna go steal the knife. He goes back up to the collection that we were just in. And the knife is gone.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, shit, like... And then he, like, gets stuck staring at the mirror?
Yeah, he, like, stares at the mirror for a really long time. I'm not sure what it's, like...
doing?
Wanting to tell him...
Oh, look, it's like, I couldn't remember what this mirror really fucking did in The Corroded Man. I didn't feel like checking.
I think it's, like, showing different version, like, different, it's like an alternate universe mirror. It's showing different alternate
universes, basically. Oh, yeah, because it like, showed Emily if, like, her mom hadn't died or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not, yeah, it was, well, was it showing him, like, the blue light that ends up being important later?
No, it's literally just showing someone moving far away, walking toward him across a desolate landscape of metal and ash. That's what it says verbatim.
I guess it's probably from Death of the Outsider.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's all fine. And then someone else shows up.
Yeah, like one of the thieves shows up.
And like, what even happens here? I think Dao just like runs after him.
Yeah, Dao, like, runs after him. They fight. He's like, tell me some shit. I need that. And the agent doesn't. So then Dao tortures the agent with the mirror.
Yeah, he, like, makes him, like, stare at it, and he, like, freaks out. And then, like, tells him that they took the knife to Karnaka.
Yeah. And then the guy just passes out from fear, basically. Dao didn't kill him. They make a point to note that, which is just, like, so pointless. Like, he's killed a decent amount of people by now and hasn't noted any of them, so.
Yeah, it's not like he's, like, you know, been a changed man or whatever.
Yeah. Like, there's one part where he's looking for the knife, and he's like, oh, why the fuck was I so cautious? Why should have just killed Norcross? It's like, okay, but, like we could dive into that. That is, like, an actually interesting thing about your psyche here.
Like, no interesting things allowed.
It's like, I would have been interested to know if it would have been like, oh man, here we are thinking again how killing is the easy way to get things that you need. And, you know, why morally that doesn't work because we live in society.
Or like, just like, oh, like if I kill all these people to kill the outsider, like, is that okay? Because killing the outsider is like better for the world.
Yeah, it's so weird. And also there's a part where he just stares at his own face and he's like, wow, I look like an obsessive loser. It's like, okay, well, you are.
Fucking weirdo who's obsessed with his knife. And it's like, yeah, you're correct, dude.
Yeah. We completely move on. He never comes back to that.
I know. And the knife is like kind of, it's like, I guess this came up before in The Corroded Man. The knife is like kind of weird and like kind of singing to him and like maybe is like, I feel like they don't get into it enough, like, how much, like, he is being, like, weirdly mind-controlled by this knife or not, or whether he's just like this.
Yeah, like, they do have a lot of stuff about that, like, before he gets kidnapped or whatever. I assume it's kind of the same as runes, how they, like, kind of do the weird singing thing.
Yeah. Oh, he tries to use a rune that Norcross has, like, lying around, and it, like, doesn't work. And we don't really go into that later.
Yeah, it just, like, tortures him.
Like, okay, I guess that's how it is sometimes.
So just, like, a lot of weird shit going on that is not explained or deemed important. So let's go to Karnaca.
Yeah, oh no, wait, he goes to, like, find Norcross again.
Oh, you're right, I'm so sorry. He's like, yeah, gonna murder Norcross. That's fair of him.
It's fair of him. Also, it doesn't happen on screen. He, like, goes and finds him, and he finds him, like, cradling that dead woman's body, and it's, like, fucking whack. Again, and then the scene ends, and the next thing you know, it's like, well, burn that manor down.
Yeah, it's like, again, if this death is so important, why don't we see it on screen? We've seen, like, five other people get tortured.
We've had so many boring fight scenes. What's one more?
It's like, this guy probably didn't even fight. Like,
I don't know. It's like, because it's like, this would be a boss fight if this was a fucking video game, but it's just like, this is not important.
Yeah, and, like, this guy's literally, Norcross is spouting off. He's like, yeah, Dowd, I knew you'd like my collection. And Dowd is like, no, I fucking don't.
Like, it's like, sucks, again, actually, I hate it.
Interesting, you know, tension here. And Dowd's like, okay, like, I'm evil, but, like, you are evil.
Like, you got problems, dude. I think you have some issues you need to work out.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he just kills Norcross and he doesn't even do it on screen. It's like, I really had to read, like, three pages of this woman getting tortured and you're not gonna even kill this dude on screen for me?
Yeah, it's not great. And, like, yeah, I think we have to talk about the agent stuff a little bit just because, like, they turn out, like, they, like, talk about how they're, like, working for, like, in shadowy support of the Empire, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, so, like, there's a cutaway in, like, chapter 21 back to, like, Mr. and Mrs. Devlin.
And they're, like, they're hanging out with, like, the barkeep from before and, like, the two late people who didn't get kidnapped and tortured to death.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Devlins are, like, y'all fucked up. And it also turns out they're not even part of this weird organization. Wyman just hired them separately to, like, kill Dowd. And also this organization, like, apparently it exists to, like, support the throne. But they totally didn't do that. And also, I don't know why there's an organization to support the throne. I don't know why everyone's so horny for monarchy at all times.
Yeah, and specifically, it's like, yeah, we're gonna, like, support the throne, but not, like, interfere. It's like, okay, you can't do that.
It's like so weird. And, like, yeah, Wyman's all of their bosses. And, like, it makes sense, like, why Wyman would want to do this. But I don't understand why anybody else would.
It makes no sense.
Like, is this, like, the Illuminati? Like, have they been around forever? Why did this even come up? This really doesn't really matter. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Like, we could have just, like, it wouldn't have even been that weird if someone had hired assassins to kill Dowd. Like, he is a known assassin. We don't even need to know who hired him.
So many fucking people want to kill Dowd. Like, Delilah could have wanted to kill Dowd.
Anyone could have, like, six other people in this book would have killed Dowd.
Yeah, it makes
no sense.
But yeah, I don't, so I guess, were they the ones who stole the knife? Why did they want the knife?
I don't even know why they want the knife.
I guess just because Dowd wanted it?
I think
they wanted to keep it safe. I don't know why, though.
Like, they don't even say, they just talk in circles. And they're like, okay, well, Dowd's gonna go back to Karnaca. It's like, okay, well, like, Who stole the knife?
I don't know, whatever.
I don't know, and I can't even remember if we're gonna find out in Death of the Outsider, because I can't remember the game very well.
I know where the knife ends up being, but I don't know if you really, I don't know, I guess you know whose, like, safety deposit box is in, but that's it.
Yeah, it's just, it's,
Whatever. So, okay. We go to Karnaca. Dowd, go, oh wait, do we have the interlude now?
We have the interlude now.
This yeah. also made me fucking heated, so.
Yeah.
This really grinds my gears.
Yeah.
we're back to Aramis Stilton and his, like, lecture that Sokolov.
His TED Talk.
Yeah, his TED Talk.
So he is a little drunk, Sokolov is lecturing and doing a demonstration with two gentlemen who I kept getting confused because they just kept calling him the older gentleman and the younger gentleman.
Like fucking fan fiction.
I know. I was like, just give them names. Like, it's okay.
You could just name them, but then they couldn't have that, like, 10-page, like, that, like, fucking, like, interlude where, like, Stilton's, like, talking about how the younger guy is hot but wouldn't be interested in him. And I'm like, why is any of this here? Like, do you not know how else to indicate that someone is gay?
I guess so. Like...
It, like, just annoyed me so much, because, like, the Duke is there. His literal boyfriend is here.
I don't know. Just, it could have been so simple, but it's like, I have to go with this whole interlude where Stilton's doing this, like, weird thing where he's, like, kind of flirting, but this guy's, like, so much younger than him. That's weird.
It's weird, and, like, Stilton is, like, the one nice man in, like, the world. You can't do this.
I know. Adam Christopher, have you ever met a gay person?
I don't think so. Anyway.
I mean, statistically, if he hasn't met a woman by now, like, probably low.
Adam Christopher lives in a room with only gamers.
Yeah, that's correct. And, like, I don't even know what's happening in this scene. Like, I wish I could tell you what's going on.
They, like, Sokolov's, like, doing an experiment where basically he's, like, letting these two dudes read each other's minds with the, like, magic crystal thing he has from Pandacia, I guess, that he named a Sokolite, which is, like, actually very funny to me.
And, like, everyone keeps, like, thinking in their brains, like, of course he named it Sokolites after himself, which, like, I did think was super funny.
Yeah, this bitch. But, yeah, it's, like, they basically, like, they, like, have Stilton, like, show the younger guy, like, cards, and then the older guy who's, like, strapped in over on the other side or, like, is on a couch or whatever, like, can, like, guess what, like, card it is, and they have, like, fish or whatever on them.
Yeah.
And so that's fine, and then the science gets evil, and, like, they, like, start, like, talking in unison and seeing, like, a blue light and a man holding a knife and, like, yeah, saying that...
I assume that they're seeing, like, into the void and weird bullshit.
Yeah. I bet it's, like, what... I can't even remember what the lady saw, the oracular sister saw at the beginning of the book.
I don't think she saw anything. I assumed that this was going to be connected to that, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically, yeah, they start, like, talking in unison and, like, bleeding from their eyes or whatever, and Stilton is like, hey, Sokolov, do you want to, like, stop this? And Sokolov is, like, not paying attention.
Yeah, Sokolov's like, wow, science right here. And Stilton is like, you're fucking killing them. So Stilton destroys the device. Love that for him.
Love that for him. The audience is, like, running away at this point.
They should.
I mean, yeah.
Sokolov gets, like, kind of mad. He's like, what the fuck did you just do? And Stilton's like, what the fuck did you just do?
You ruined my TED Talk, asshole.
Yeah. And so, as it turns out, those two lovely gentlemen are dead.
Yeah, and, like, this also really annoyed me, because, like, some dude was, like, telling Stilton this, and he, like, basically, like, gets really mad at him and then pays him off to, like, hide the bodies, and, like, it's, like, only as an afterthought, like, oh, like, I feel bad that these people are dead, and, like, it's kind of my fault, and, like, it's kind of just, like, tacked on the end of the chapter, and it's, like, this is a guy who cares about people. That's, like, one of,
yeah,
like,
it's... Yeah, it's, like, his number one tenet is, like, oh, this guy cares about the people.
Like, and he's just, like, oh, they're dead, it's whatever. It's, like, this is bad Stilton characterization. I take so much issue with all of this.
Yeah, it's, like, it's tacked on at the very end. He's, like, oh, this is my fault. It's, like, this is actually not your fault. This is Sokolov's fault. You had no way of knowing he would get human volunteers from the audience to do a weird brain trick that killed them.
Like, the classic Sokolov.
Like, classic Sokolov. It's like, you obviously had no idea what to do. It's like, he's like, yeah, I'll just pay off this guy to hide the body. It's like, you should say something to Sokolov.
Yeah, like, maybe, but yeah, so, like, you don't really see Sokolov again. Also, there's one guy in the audience who fucking claps, and it's Kieran Jindosh. He's there.
Oh, yeah, Kieran Jindosh is there, and he's like, cool, what if I immediately made this usable for the military? Like,
thanks, really? Jindosh. Love ya.
It's like, it's so weird, because, like, you're an inventor, and I get that, like, the military paid you to do a lot of stuff, but it's like, wow, this is such Kieran Jindosh loves the fucking military.
Yeah.
So plastered in there. I was like, I just, obviously he is evil. He just really never gave the appearance of caring about the military so much as caring about the military's money.
Yeah, or just, like, yeah, like, having money for his experiments or having people think he was better than Sokolov.
Yeah, it's like, just generally doesn't seem like the guy to buy into military propaganda.
But seems here we are.
Yeah. So, horrible characterization for, like, five different people.
Love it.
Love it.
Yeah,
we're on a boat.
Yeah, we're on a boat. Dowd shaves. This was what was important to me about this scene.
Yeah, thank fucking God. So he gets on a boat, like a whaling boat, back to Karnaca. He pays them, like, a shit ton of money.
Like, yeah, like, a year's salary for each of them. I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah, he's just gonna drop this is the equivalent of now dropping $40,000 on me.
It's like, yeah, dude, sure, I'll smuggle you in.
So, and then he works along the crew. There's, like, a weird portion where he, like, builds a weird gym in the ship's, like, the belly of the ship, which is so, like, why is that not even being used? Does he need a gym? Is he not getting strong enough having to work on a whaling boat?
It's his fucking, like, 80s, like, montage for him, like, getting his shit back together, except he totally doesn't because he fucks up for the rest of his book, so.
Yeah. So then he shaves, and then he puts on his customary garment, and he leaves.
Yeah, and yeah, he looks in the mirror, and he's like, oh, wow, I look the same as I used to, and it's like, I know what you look like right now, and you don't, and...
I know what you look like. It looks like shit. This has been 15 years. Like, you're, like, what, 65 now?
He's, like, not even... I think he's, like, younger than that, and he also, like, looks much more like shit than Corvo, who is the same age, basically.
I don't know how old Dowd is.
I don't remember.
I assumed that he was, like, 40.
I don't know, and I don't care. Sorry, Dowd. Yeah, he's in Karnaca. He spends a night in, like, a shed or something, because there's a shrine there, and, like, he, like, it's just, like, this really nice detail where he's, like, kneeling in front of it, like, as he's just, like, waiting out the night, and then he realizes what he's doing, and he turns around so he's not facing it.
Yeah, that is super...
Which is, like, the best characterization in this entire book is him doing that.
Yeah.
And he, like, probably thinks about the outsider or something, but, like, whatever.
Then there's, like, an interlude with some witches.
Oh, yeah, the witches are doing well, I guess. I don't remember what they even talk about. They talk about Brianna.
They talk about, like, Brianna lost all her magic.
Yeah, this is what made me realize that Dishonored 2 is, like, over now.
Yeah, but also I had forgotten to mention, so, like, when Jindosh is talking, like, 11 years ago about his weird stuff, he's like, oh, what if the Socolites could be polished into lenses?
Oh, yeah.
So the lenses that are going to rob Rand Ashworth of her power, cool. What's now happened?
Nailed it.
So yeah, these witches are talking about how Brianna Ashworth lost her power and they want to capture Dowd.
Yes, and like one of them still has power that's like residual, because I guess they were all getting their power from Delilah and Brianna or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, also like now Dowd is in fucking Karnaca and still somehow has no idea that Delilah has thrown a coup. He never hears the name Delilah in this whole fucking book.
I know, he doesn't. He also, like, never once, like, he's going through all of Cirkonos. He's like, wow, the Grand Guard is there. There's a coup going on. Apparently, there's a bunch of murder, like, a bunch of, like, mysterious things that have been happening. He never connects it to, like, the coup or Emily or anything.
He's like, it's probably fine. Which, like, on the one hand, it's very funny if Dowd is just like, man, it's not my business. But also, like, I hate it. It is
super funny.
Yeah, so after he gets there, he, like, meets with a lady who works in the Grand Guard, who's, like, the daughter of a whaler and, like, became someone in the Grand Guard, which is kind of a wild choice.
Yeah, and it's also been 15 years, so I don't know if, like, Dowd's got any political sway here.
I know. But yeah, because, like, basically she walks in and I guess they meet in the conservatory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, has a pocket watch. And she's like, you have 2 minutes.
They meet in the conservatory specifically because Dowd is like, oh, wow, the conservatory's been closed because Brianna Ashworth has been ill because there's a bunch of things happening in the city. Yeah. Oh, wow. Like Emily Caldwin fucking running around on rooftops.
It's weird how that works. But yeah, and so he asks, so the people who stole the knife, one of them had a weird tattoo. And he, like, shows the lady this tattoo, and she's, like, she's, like, I think a gang is involved in this knife thing, and she's, like, oh, do they have a tattoo? And then she draws it for him, and he's, like, that's the tattoo. And it's a gang called the Eyeless.
Mm-hmm.
And they stole the knife.
Yeah, and she tells him that they're pretty quiet, they haven't really, like, tussled with any of the Grand Guard, the Overseers, And honestly, she doesn't actually tell him that much that's important.
It's like, yeah, it's like, I think it's basically, she does like the very quick exposition of being like, the Eyeless exist. Good to know. Yeah. Oh, and right before this, Dowd goes and gets a cachet of stuff that he had at Shindere Peak, which it turns out it's very hard to get to unless you have outsider powers. That won't be important ever. That won't ever be important. anyway, but yeah, so he finds that out from her, and then, what, then, like, she leaves. They have a fight,
and then, not this guard and Dowd, the guard leaves. He waits, and then he gets into a fight with, like, three witches in the conservatory.
And, like, he kills some of them, and then the Devlins show up and, like, just kind of hustle him away, and he just goes with them. Yeah.
I know. It's, like, it's so annoying, because it's, like, the Devlins as, like, weird married assassins who finish each other's sentences is, like, an archetype I'm supremely into.
And yet, they, like, suck.
They're so horrible!
They're so annoying. They have, like, they're like, so at first boring. I was, like, they're kind of fun, but they, like, they're, like... Like, speaking quirks get so annoying so quickly, because they, like, always call each other Mr. and Mrs. Devlin, and, like, call each other my dear a lot, and it's just, like, too much. Like, half of it needed to be edited out.
Yeah. It's like, you can call each other by, like, your surnames and call each other dear, but you can't do it in every sentence, which is what they do. Like, yeah. It's not even a speaking quirk, it's just, like, they are not capable of saying any other words.
It's like, listen, like, I know, I swear to God, Adam Christopher, I know you've fucking played Bioshock Infinite, I know how you know how to do this, but yeah. Apparently not.
Yeah, so it's like, that's just really unfortunate. So, all the witches are dead, and the only time Dowd thinks Delilah in this entire book is he's like, oh, witches in Karnaca? Is it something to do with Delilah or someone else?
Oh, well.
Never mentioned again.
Never mentioned again. I just, like... And, like, it annoys me that, like, I feel like if you're doing this, like, thing where he just doesn't hear about Delilah, you have to, like, lean way into it. And it's just, like, I just don't get it. I don't get why this book is so, like, jumps through hoops so that they avoid this, like, interesting thing.
I don't know. Like, it would work so well.
I just don't understand.
This book just really needs to be, like, a look into Dowd's psyche, and what it is a look into Dowd on, like, 8 different shipping boats.
That man just fucking loves boats. That's why they were whalers.
Get that man a boat.
He's, oh my God, yeah, I don't know. He should have just been a fucking whaling captain, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, whaling's evil, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it's killing people.
So, yeah, Mrs. Devlin's like, what's up, Dowd? I think we can come to an agreement. You want to talk? And Dowd's like, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, and Mr. Devlin gets, like, fucking stabbed or whatever, so he's bleeding. It's fine.
He's injured. So they go to some old office that is not an office any longer because it's been abandoned. They don't say anything important.
Yeah, they're just, like, there. They smoke some more. And then they, like, lock Dowd in a room pointedly.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
I'm not sure how, like, they even got him there. They're just like, hey, we've heard you've been looking for the knife. And he's like, how do you know? And she's like, just come with me. I'm like, what? This man is a known assassin. Like, he's been an assassin for most of his life. He's just gonna go with these.
He just goes with people. Them. He just fucking goes with them, and then... That there's, like, a cut-in scene that's of, like, them, because it's, like, her patching him up, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna, like, fucking sick dude, like, sick assassins on him, because, like, we want him dead.
So he's in this office, and someone appears in the office.
Who could have, for a second I thought this was gonna be Delilah, which would have been dope as hell.
That would have been dope as hell, but I'm also pretty content with who it is.
I do like who it is, although I, like, this also drives me nuts, but it's Billy Lurk.
Billy Lurk!
But it is not Billy Lurk, as you might expect to see her. It is Billy Lurk with, like, a whack, like, red eye and a weird mechanical arm.
Which you might recall the same Billy Lurk we saw at the end of the Wormwood Deceit.
Who just, like, loves to jump into tie-in content and be like, hey, I'm from the future. Don't ask questions. I'm here now.
So, yeah, she just shows up and is like, hey. He's like, wow, what's up? She's like, oh, you know, got a lot of shit to do. They're gonna kill you. Let's fix this. It's like, what?
Yeah, she's like, what? Like, I can't tell you anything, but, like, I have to fix something that I broke or whatever. I don't know.
It's, like, unclear what is broken.
I don't even know what the fuck she's talking about, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I guess I kind
of do. This was, like, the point in the novel as it was, it's, like, suddenly a cut-in of Billy's point of view. I'm like, oh, so this is why this was published after Death of the Outsider.
Yes. Because
they're alluding to some weird thing that's gonna happen in 3 years because of something Dow does now, but that's not mentioned in Death of the Outsider.
I think I kind of know what they're talking about, because I think it comes up in The Veiled Terror, which is the next book, but I haven't read it. I read it a year ago and haven't read it since then because it's not good. But I think
really
weird, shocking, I know. But that book's about Billy after Death of the Outsider, and so I think I kind of know what she's talking about. But this must be Billy from even later than that, because The Veiled Terror takes place, like, a year after this, so.
Yeah, she says specifically 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so something bad is happening, apparently. And
yeah, so she leaves this office. She's gonna go attack these men who are trying to kill Dowd. She just talks, like, a lot about how she's, like, she's apparently done this fight, like, 15 billion times.
Yeah, she's been safe scumming.
Yeah. And there's, like, a bunch of lines about how his quest to kill the outsider is going to ruin everything. It's like, why do you have to go back to this moment? Like, can't you just go tell your current self that, like, hey, in, like, a year, Dowd's gonna come find you, don't kill the outsider.
Yeah, or, like, yeah, like, just, yeah, go, like, oh man, conversation, yeah. Yeah, Billy should talk to her past self more.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so as she's fighting, like, her weird metal magic arm, like, she can, like, draw, like, she has the twin-bladed knife, but it's, like, different, mm-hmm. and, but, like, she can, like, use it with that arm, and so she, like, uses it to fight.
Yeah, I don't love how they always call her arm an artifact.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, I think they just, yeah, I think they mean because it's, like, a weird, like, void situation.
I just assumed that Adam Christopher was trying to avoid the word prosthetic.
I mean, it's like, a weird void situation.
It is a weird void situation, but it's also just her arm.
It is also just her arm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she, like, does this fight, but then Dowd also, like, doesn't fucking stay where she put him.
That's, okay, like, he's not valid, but that's fair. If, like, my daughter from the future showed up and she's like, you just stay here, I'm gonna go fight a bunch of people for you so we can leave, I'd be like, no.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
you have to explain more things to
me. Yeah, she doesn't really, like, tell him why he, like, can't do it. And I also don't really fully understand, like, I get it, but, like, anyway. So, like, she, like, drops the knife and he walks out and picks it up and uses it. And she's like, no, that's the thing I was trying to avoid.
And it may, I don't
fucking get it.
I don't get it, because, like, I think you could just stop going back in time if you didn't want him to pick up this knife.
I guess it's, like, what she says, it's, like, the first time she did it, this happened, and then it became, like, locked into time or whatever. These books do not have, like, a concept of, like, stable time travel or whatever. Although, mm-hmm. this is also, because, yeah, so basically, like, he uses the knife, and basically it, like, fucks him up forever now, and he's dying, and I don't understand why.
I don't understand why. I also don't know why she doesn't just say, hey, I have this knife that I know you're looking for.
Don't touch
it. But don't touch it, because in the future, that is going to ruin everything.
Yeah.
Like, you could even say the outsider had a contingency plan.
Right. He'd fucking love that.
Yeah.
I would love it if she, like, said that. He was like, oh, I don't want to do what the outsider wants, and, like, yeah, fucking grabs it.
Like, that would literally work. If you just showed up and you're like, Dad, you can't touch this knife because the outsider is expecting you to do it, and you're going to play right into his plans, and Dad would be like, I'm never touching this knife ever. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he touches the knife. He gets really fucked up and is, yeah, he passes out and wakes up, and Billy is like, so you're dying.
Yeah, which... Yeah, and she's like, yeah, you're dying, and, like, now it's my fault because you're dying, because you... I don't understand why this knife is making him be dying. Like, it's like, I guess this is the explanation for why in Death of the Outsider he's dying, but, like, I didn't need an explanation for that. I just assumed he was fucking old and sick.
It's like, I've gone to the Dishonored wiki. He's 57. I'm guessing not a lot of people live to 57.
Well, and, like, Dishonored. And he, like, ends up in a really bad situation, and also he's lived a wild life of being an assassin who uses magic powers. Like, you didn't have to give me a reason for him to be sick. I would just be like, yeah, okay.
Like, it was just completely believable if you say, yeah, he is sick. Done. Like, You have a plague in this video game.
I don't know. And, like, yeah, and it's, like, they just don't explain why touching the knife, like, made him die. Like, that doesn't seem to have been true of anybody else.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. Billy's fine. I was, like, it makes, like, supremely no sense. And then he, like, continues on with his quest. He's, like, oh, well, now that I'm dying, I'm definitely gonna touch the knife again. Now that Billy Lurk has come back from the future to tell me not to do something. What? Like, even, I don't even know why you'd need to have her come back to the future. You could have just had Dowd touch the knife in Norcross's castle.
Yeah, like that, the normal pleasant
knife. And
have
the same thing happen, and that's how Norcross gets him.
Yeah, that would be, wow, that would be, like, so much easier and, like, wouldn't create this problem where now Dowd, like, for all of Death of the Outsider, has seen future Billy but never mentions it to her because he's just nice like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what? Like, I just, like, rest assured, if your future self came from the future to talk to me, I would tell you that shit.
Thank you. Yeah, because it's like, Billy doesn't even really ask him not to. He's just like, oh, don't worry, I'll keep your secret or whatever. It's like, she didn't really even ask you to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you're just saying that so that, like, canon works, but, like, you didn't have to create this problem.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense.
The second half of this book is so fucking stupid. Like, I want to diagram this also, because, like, on a plot perspective, none of this makes any sense, and nothing happens.
And nothing matters, because he specifically is, like, asking her a bunch of questions. She's like, you know I can't tell you that. It's like, okay, first of all, why?
I know, like...
Like, you've come back from the future, like, 15 billion times, so, like, what's gonna change? I've already seen you come back from the future.
It's because she played Death of the Outsider, and so she knows what Dowd is supposed to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, do I succeed in killing the Outsider? And Billy's like, I don't fucking know.
Can't say that.
And also, yeah, and it does the thing again where it, like, won't, like, say anything to imply which ending of Death of the Outsider is canon, which I think is stupid.
Yeah.
But
it also is like, there's what could have been a really touching moment where Dowd was like, oh, you came back to help me, and instead, by accident, you made me touch this knife, and now I'm dying. It's like, that's really important characterization for the both of them. That's her father figure, that's someone, they've both known each other most of their lives, like...
Never, it doesn't really come up, really.
Never comes up ever again. Dowd specifically is like, yeah, I believe you, I believe her. And then what?
I know. Well, and it's, like, it's also, it's, like, so interesting. Like, Dowd is also a person who, like, has, like, fucked up a lot of shit in his, like, quest to, like, make things better. And also, or, like keeps accidentally, like, causing, like, bad things to happen. And, like, maybe he's doing that right now in his quest to kill the Outsider. Like, and Billy, do you think you might want to mention that? Like, I feel like that's, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's, like, again, nothing happens. Like, they don't have, like, a conversation. She just says, oh, I'm from the future, and they make, like, mindless talk, and then she leaves. It's like, did you even come back to tell Dowd anything?
Like, not to, like, you know, like, he's sick and dying now, like, for that version of Billy. Like, for that version of Billy, he's dead. Like, don't you want to say anything to your dead dad?
Really not.
Anyway.
Then there's, like, a scene with the witches again where they kill their familiar, who is that dude, who we're like, wow, who is this dude's mistress? It's one of these random witches who don't show up again.
Yeah,
Which, like, honestly, I'm pretty proud of them. It seems like having a human familiar is really hard, and they don't even have any, like, magic left.
Yeah, I was skimming this because I wanted to, like, finish this book. One of them, like, mentions that the other witch had a lover, and I'm just gonna assume because they said it like that, I mean, she's a lesbian. So,
yeah.
Good, thanks for that.
So, they're, like, right near Dowd, and they're gonna go kill him, and to make sure they have enough power to do that, they kill this human familiar.
Yeah. When Dowd woke up with Billy, they were in the Jindosh mansion for no fucking reason that I can discern.
Yeah, none.
Like, there's like, 3 pages of him describing it, and it's like, I played the fucking game. Like,
I'm not reading this book because I haven't played the game,
like,
so.
Don't worry, I know it, like, and I don't understand why it's set there, because it doesn't really matter, but whatever. Anyway, the witches come to kill him.
There's a scene with Dowd in the void with the outsider, which is what Sarah's been waiting
for. Thank you. Yes, thank you very well. So, yeah, so he's like he's just like sleeping, I guess, after Billy leaves, and so we finally get the outsider showing up. At 280 pages into this 300 page book, the outsider shows up. It's fine, I guess. Like the this seems fine. Like, basically, the outsider's like, so tell me, like, Dowd, like, is this how you thought it would end? Like, is this how you thought your story would go? And, like, it's kind of smug, and that's nice. And, like, he says that Dowd was always his favorite, which I appreciate, because that's gay.
I know, that was really fun. I was like, wow, that's fun. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I think you're lying.
That's so, like,
but
mean and petty to say. I love it.
But yeah, basically, like, Dowd kind of gets into him a little. He's like, oh, like, you've always just been meddling. Like, how many people have died because of you? And, like, he does the thing that I kind of like when the outsider does, which is Dowd, like, asks him what he wants, and the outsider does not answer and, like, just starts talking about something else, which I always think is very funny because he just can't answer questions. But he's like, yeah, like, you know, you were one of my favorites, but, like, you know, people's lives are so short, and, like, I've been alive for 4,000 years, and, like, you can't fucking conceive of how long that is.
Yeah, and it's, like, this could be interesting, but it's literally just, like, a conversation. There's, like, nothing of doubt, like, I find it always so interesting when humans and gods talk, and humans are like, yeah, it might not matter to you, but to us, like, this is a life. It might only be 50 years out of 4,000 to you.
But, like, it matters.
That doesn't make it meaningless to us. Like, those are the interesting conversations.
And you think that's, like, that would be Dowd's point, is, like, you shouldn't meddle in humanity because you clearly can't understand what that means. Like, even if you were human right. once, you aren't anymore. And, like, yeah, he, like, it's, like, I don't know. And basically, like, the thing I think is kind of interesting about this scene is that Dowd, like, seems to think that the outsider is afraid and is, like, shrinking back from him, which is kind of a wild thing for him to do.
Yeah, it's like, again, what? Okay. Why is the outsider afraid here? Dowd's literally dying.
I know. Well,
we've just all had, like, a good 10 pages of Dowd being like, so I'm dying, huh?
Well, it's like, so my interpretation of this is because, like, it's like, while, like, basically Dowd's like, bitch, I'm gonna kill you, and the outsider basically says, like, no, you're not, but someone will. And so, like, yeah. I think it's interesting if, like, the outsider is, like, afraid of dying, but, like, he's not, I don't think he's afraid of Dowd, but I think Dowd interprets it as him being afraid of Dowd.
I think it would be interesting if he were afraid of Dowd, because then there's, like, a really interesting dynamic of, oh, I chose right when I marked this person, and now I'm seeing, like, the downfall of that. Now I'm seeing how, like, meddling for my own entertainment has created this thing that will kill me.
Yeah.
Like, those are all, like, interesting dynamics, because, like, probably some of the reasons he was so invested in Dowd are, like, his tenacity and single-mindedness.
Yeah.
That is now being directed at finding a way to kill the outsider.
Yeah.
It's, like, that's a really intriguing sort of setup. But I don't buy that the outsider is actually afraid of Dowd.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to set it up way more for that.
Yeah, and, like, basically after this happens, like, he's like, yeah, so someone's gonna kill me, but it won't be you, and Dowd's like, well, we'll see, and then the scene ends, because, like, the outsider, like, shrinks back from him and, like, stumbles, which is also, like, wild, because the outsider does not stumble, and then Dowd wakes up. So, I mean, that's, I don't know. It would be cool if there were more scenes of the outsider in this book. That would be nice.
Yeah. Because, like, Dowd has some really good lines about how it's, like, how many have you, like, marked as your property?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That's a great line.
That was so good.
Like, saying, like, how many of you have you, people have you given the mark and made your property is, like, that is fucking iconic, Dowd. After 282 pages, you've said something good.
you finally got a good burn in.
It's a great bird. I guess he's been thinking about it for 15 years.
For 15 years, Dowd has been practicing what he's going to say to the outsider, and then the conversation does not go how he wants it to, or how I want it to.
Yeah. I don't think it goes how anyone wants it to.
Oh, well.
So he wakes up.
He wakes up. There's 20 pages left in this book. Less than that.
We can do it. We can do it. He wakes up twice, actually.
Oh, yeah. He wakes up, goes immediately back to sleep, and I wanted to get a red pen out and cross out this entire tiny section, because there's no reason it's
like,
here.
What does that mean?
He, like, it's, like, literally, like, a page where he, like, wakes up and is like, oh, like, how long have I been asleep? And then he goes back to bed. It's like,
yeah, I don't.
Who edits these books?
I don't know.
Anyway, then he wakes up again.
So, yes, then he wakes up again. He is trying to leave the manor, but it's not working, and there's just, like, 3 pages of him trying to leave the manor. It's like, okay, well, you're no, you know, Claire-certified walkthrough, but...
but I think you might be, fucking up. But then yeah. he gets stuck and passes out, basically.
Yeah, he gets, like, trapped, specifically, and passes out, like, in a very tiny room that's, like, where the walls are closing in on him.
And then it cuts to the witches, who, like, trapped him with magic, is what happened.
Yeah, he's not in a tiny room at all. He's literally on the stairs outside of the fucking mansion. And the witches are like, cool, we trapped him. It's like, okay, yeah, you sure did.
You sure did. And this book, and now it's the epilogue. So I guess that's it for Dowd.
Mm-hmm. So they trap him. They're like, cool, we have Dowd.
And the beginning part of the epilogue is like, oh, the outsider is always watching. And then he like, it's like, oh, he sees these things, and it's like the ending text from Dishonored 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's canon that Paolo is in charge of the Karnaka, so that's, jot that down.
That's just wild.
Yeah, it is interesting that it's like, a Paolo? Like, really? That's, it's not that the, it's the fake Duke? It's that? Okay. So yeah, and then it's just like kind of the like good ending. It's like, oh, Emily the Just, whatever.
Yeah. Sokolov's happy. Billy Lurk steps out from her shadow.
Good stuff. We all played the game. And there's one more scene at the Arbarka baths in Karnaka.
Which we haven't gone to yet, but we will.
Yeah, and so basically there's like a, like, I don't know, they run like an illegal fighting ring, and Dowd is trapped there and is like having to fight.
Yeah, they call him the Black Magic Brute, which is like actually like a pretty solid name.
It is pretty solid.
Yeah, so apparently he's just really fucking good at boxing, which is kind of wild considering he's dying.
But yeah, so he's like dying, he's boxing, he's like really mad, and the end of the book is like, all right, like I still gotta kill the outsider. Cool, haven't learned anything.
It just like makes no sense. He should have touched this fucking knife, page 10.
This fucking book is just like, oh, he's gotta get the knife, and it's like, if you play that to the outsider, you know he's not going to get the knife, because you know he doesn't have it. But, like,
it's also so weird to have, like, the witches do it? What does that mean?
The witches kidnapped him, and I guess they must have given him to the... So the like, thing that he's being, like, the, like, underground boxing ring that he's in is being run by the Eyeless. So, like, why didn't the Eyeless capture him?
Yeah,
like are the witches part of the Eyeless?
Like, are they working with the Eyeless? Are they part of the Eyeless? Why didn't they just capture Dowd when they were there for the knife? Like,
what? Why were the Devlins there? Like, why did
Why did Wyman hire the Devlins to kill Dowd, which they didn't do, even though they bragged a billion times about how they never fail a contract? I think it fucking failed.
This never comes up again. I don't know if they were planning for, like, more tie-in material that was, like, oh, Wyman's adventures. It's, like, this never comes up again. The League never comes up again. Why does this exist? This makes no sense on any level.
Anyway. Yeah, like, what the fuck is the League there for? To, like, watch over the Empire and not meddle? It's, like, what?
Well, and it's because it's,
what,
like,
does that mean?
Like, when they're, like, oh, we have to watch over the Empire, it's, like, the minute they say that, it's, like, but also we failed at our job. And it's, like, yeah, you did.
Like, fucking failed.
There's been a coup. Good job.
It's fine. Like, you're telling me there's no, like, League of Anarchy who's like, maybe we shouldn't have monarchs.
I know. Where are the fucking communists?
Where are the communists?
I guess Relativia and they're evil. Anyway.
Oh, that's right. We're so sorry. We forgot communism was only allowed in fantasy Russia.
Yeah, that's great.
So, like, that was just, like, a fucking useless book.
Yeah, I really, it's like, yeah, I didn't like it. That's my hot take, is...
It's like we just really didn't need 285 pages or whatever, nearly 300 pages of Dowd failing to get the knife and setting up the next game.
Which didn't need any of that setup, because it sets itself up fine.
Yeah, it doesn't need any of that setup, because it is literally fine to just... Mild like, spoilers for the beginning of Death the Outsider, but Billy Lurk is like, I gotta find Dowd, which we know she's gonna do because of the way Dishonored 2 ends. And he's like, hey, want to kill the outsider? Like, you don't need more setup than that. You don't need time travel to make it work.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep putting time travel in these, like, tie-in novels, because they don't do it very well, because it's, like, kind of, it gets, like, complicated, and, like, yeah, and it's, like, they don't explain what Billy was trying to fix, and, like, I think I know what it is, because it kind of comes up in the Veiled Terror, but, like, no one reading, like, it's, like, not a good setup for the Veiled Terror, really, so, I don't know.
The only thing that really is mildly of note here is that Dowd is dying, which answers the number one pivotal question in Death of the Outsider, which is why does Dowd look like he's 80?
True.
Which, I have been wondering since that game came out.
It's like, it's because future Billy Lurk came back in time and accidentally let him touch the knife. There you go, obviously. What other answer could there possibly be?
Like, literally, why did they just have it be like, oh, using the mark draws on vitality of life?
Yeah. Nope.
Literally
allowed.
Could have been so simple.
Because then everyone would be like, why does Corvo look so hot? And it would be because the outsider likes him better. Duh.
The answer was like, I gotta keep my boyfriend hot.
Yeah. My ex can go, like, choke, though, so.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. And I still don't know why, like, all of this setup happened for time travel, and then there's so much that's still just never gonna be mentioned.
Yeah.
Wyman never comes back, the Devlins never come back, the League never comes back. Delilah was mentioned once in this entire novel.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. I'm excited to play Death of the Outsider, which is good.
I was so excited for Death of the Outsider. I haven't played it since it came out. I've only played it once, so.
Ooh.
It's going to be very, very fun and sexy for me to not know exactly where I'm going.
Oh, it'll be great.
But yeah, she's like, yeah, none of that setup was needed. I don't know why this book was written.
I know.
This should have been anything else.
It should have been, like, Dowd's 10-year depression journey to thinking that murder was good again. But whatever.
Like, why does he think murder is okay? Is he only okay with murdering evil people? Which, like, I don't think he's wrong to murder Norcross. I think that guy had it coming, but, like,
I don't know. Why was Norcross even there? Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Why was there just, like, the need for an eccentric murderer who taxidermies his victims?
Adam Christopher watched Hannibal and was like, I want to do that, but badly.
He did.
So great.
He got it. He did it badly.
We love it.
Yeah. Very just pointless. So pointless. And again, he never even sees the real Billy Lurk for this entire time that he's fucking around in Carnaga while Emily is going around, not murdering people because it's a good ending, but removing people of power.
Yeah.
It's like all of the interesting things here are just bygones. Like, it would have been interesting to learn why he wants to kill the outsider. Would have been interesting to learn how he finds out about this knife.
Yeah, it is so wild that he's just like, well, I just know about the knife now. It's like, oh, cool, thanks.
He's like, yeah, I heard rumors. It's like,
well, like, it would have been interesting if this was something that the outsider had, like, told him at some point, since the outsider apparently loves to monologue to people about his backstory. So,
I think it is, like, supremely sexy if someone would be like, this is the only thing that can kill me, and I'm telling you just for sexy, fun reasons.
See, yeah, that is extremely sexy, actually.
It is. It's like, that's just, like, fun. And then it's, like, also, like, an interesting setup to be like, oh, you thought you were into this boyfriend, but actually he disappointed you, and now he's gonna murder you because you thought it was a good idea to tell him how you could be murdered. Because
you're arrogant and smug, so, I don't know.
Because you're arrogant and smug, and you like to meddle with people. It's like, that's an interesting setup, if that's, like, if the doubt is, like, it's gonna be your own fault when you hit your downfall.
Yeah.
That'd so be fun cool. And sexy, but instead it's not there at all.
I gotta say, the Dishonored novels might be the least sexy books I've ever read, and, like, by, like, every definition. Like, narratively, not sexy. And what actually happens, not sexy. And all the, like, gross torture, which is very unsexy. It's like, listen, torture can be sexy. None of this torture is sexy.
Yeah, recipe Schwab.
Thanks.
You are so welcome. So yeah, this is just like a fun, horrible, unsexy novel.
Anyway, so glad that I've read this. Also, all the sections that I thought were interesting, which was, like, Dowd, like, that weird thing when he, would, like, didn't want to kneel in front of the shrine, but he was doing it anyway, and the outsider showing up, I had, like, seen those, like, get posted on Twitter before, so it's, like, the only good scenes in this I had kind of knew about. So, it's a solid D- for me.
D-? I'm gonna give it a solid F.
Well, at least the outsider showed up, so I have to give it something. The outsider doesn't show up in any other novel.
Well, he showed up for 4 pages, well, so I don't think Adam Christopher thinks
the Outsider
is hot.
I read The Veiled Terror on release day because I thought The Outsider was going to show up, and he fucking didn't.
Well, if we had at that point read the other two Dishonored novels, we would have known better.
I would have known so much better. I have regret in my heart.
I know. I regret that I spent $7 on this.
I hope you're excited to read The Veiled Terror.
Uh-huh.
She'll be great.
So excited.
Yeah, it's great. At least it's, you know, Billy's there, so it's not all bad. It's mostly bad, though.
I do love Billy. I do.
Yeah. At least we get to play as Billy now.
Thank God. That's the only thing I want.
That's so valid of you.
I went to the Devlin's wiki page, and just says nothing.
Because there's nothing to say.
I was like, maybe there's going to be something interesting about them, but no.
Yeah, I don't know if I could recommend playing Bioshock Infinite in the year 2K19, because woof, but the Lutesses are good, and they're a much better version of this trope.
I do love the Lutesses. I don't particularly like Bioshock Infinite. I think it's too infinite, but...
Uh-huh. That's one of its many problems. But the Lutesses are great.
Yeah, I think they're very well done. They're done very shoddily here. Adam Christopher just really likes to, like, watch a lot of media and be like, I can do that, but better, and then supremely
and then do it badly. Unlike me, who says that I can do that, but better, and I'm right when I say that.
You are correct.
Thank you.
So, at least next week we get to play a video game.
So excited. Although, I don't know when I'm going to have time to do that. Whatever.
I don't know. I have to do it this weekend, because next weekend is Anime NYC.
Alright, well, I'll just fucking try to find time to play it, then.
These missions aren't, like, too long, right?
They're, like, pretty long, dude.
Damn it.
I think the first one's short, though, probably.
I guess we'll see.
Whatever, we'll find out. where can people find you on the internet, Claire?
You can find me on Twitter at Surrealist Trees. Oh my god, there was a Reddit AMA with Adam Christopher.
What? Oh my god. Oh, rip.
Yes. Okay, continue. Sorry.
The music's by Goosebeak Whale by Alps. You can find it in the episode description. You can find me on Twitter at Lucky Dice Kirby. You can find podcast at Drunken Whalers. Right after this, I have to post the thing Amazon sent me, where it was like, how did you like Return of Dow? And I have to think of something funny to say with it. it'll probably just be being a bitch. Next time, we won't be so mad.
Interesting. Sorry, I cannot wait to talk. I'm gonna read through this entire Reddit and send you the choice thing so you can talk about it. Just in the beginning of next episode, all right, for fun.
Stay tuned for us dragging Adam Christopher some more. It's the content all of you want, I'm sure.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.